I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
To be joined by the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, joining us on 96.5 The Fan, Mitch Holthus is here with us today. Mitch, it's good to see you. It's been a while. How you been?
How about the launch of this? This is so cool. I've been doing great, man. I've been at camp for 30 days in Vasilikos Hall, man, my cinder block dorm room. I go back to my freshman year of college every time I go up there, but it's such an awesome time. So much gets done, but it's the developing relationships. It's huge. And Andy runs incredible camp. So, but this man, 96.5 The Fan, historic. It's just pretty cool what's going on here.
I'm trying to think, and you've certainly been around the Kansas City area for quite some time. I can't think of a football season that was more anticipated than this one. When you think about the Chiefs going for an unprecedented 3 in a row, K-State's ranked, KU's ranked, Missouri is ranked. There's big-time expectation for almost every local football team right now. I can't think of a buzz or an energy around a football season that was greater than the one we're about to face.
People are even excited about, Avila, Benedictine, Baker, and St. Mary's. I know it's never happened. Not to have all of the teams basically anticipated to be at or near the top of their games. If you look at it historically, like the best Mizzou team, and that was such a great year last year, and they've done an excellent job recruiting. They're just pumping out NFL dudes like crazy. Avery Johnson's an exciting player, very exciting. I'm not sure K-State's had anybody like him since Lynn Dickey, really, as far as being a pro potential. And then what Leipold has done at Kansas, they got dudes now. They got a bunch of dudes that are going to be in the NFL. And then to chase history to try for a three-peat, you're right. It's never been like this.
What's the biggest thing that you learned at camp? Because I've had this stance. Now, I understand from a team standpoint, but from my standpoint, only bad things can happen at camp. You know, somebody gets injured, something happens. We know this roster, there weren't a lot of position battles. The thing I learned the most has been Carson Steele. I look at his history and his pedigree. He ran for almost 1,600 yards at Ball State, and then last year at UCLA, he ran for 5 yards a carry and 900 yards. Every year, there's an undrafted running back or a guy that falls late into the NFL draft, like Isaiah Pacheco, that breaks through and puts together a good pro career. I'm not saying that's 100% what Carson Steele is going to be, but you at least give yourself the chance, if you're the Chiefs, to hold that lottery ticket. And what if this guy is way better than the scouts predicted he was going to be?
Can I name drop on you here?
Go ahead, of course.
So this summer I was at an event, and David Letterman was there. So he's Mr. Ball State Cardinal, right? I go, do you know what's going on with the Chiefs? Not only we have Nick Jones, who's a Ball State Cardinal. I said, you know about this Carson Steele guy? So I looked it up and showed him his video game numbers that he had at Ball State. And the other night, and I talked to Carson about this afterwards, I go, I hope you think it was a compliment. Because when he scored the touchdown, I go, the Chiefs Kingdom has its new comic book hero. Because who else looks like a dude that ought to be up on stage with AC/DC, right? Like he's, and with a Pat Alligator, like he fits all of the molds of the old like 90s guys of a Chiefs, you know, Greg Minuski or a Jared Allen type. But the kid's a football player, and there's more to him than just breaking tackles. Now, can he do it again? Can he be consistent? But you asked me what I saw. Overall, the most impressive thing to me was the vibe that is around this team, C-Dot. And that is, nobody has to say a word. Nobody has to say a word, but everybody knows what's at stake. But you don't have to say, run it back, or put it up on the wall. In fact, they shy away from it. They didn't do that last year. But everybody knows. I see it in their eyes. It's almost like an unwritten discussion. And it's really cool, because everybody's on task to do it. But then I've seen some incredible improvement from guys. Drew Tranquil, Turk Wharton, the Missouri S&T minor, has had an awesome camp. And he can, if he does what he did in camp during the season and stays healthy, you're going to see Turk Wharton make some explosive plays. And then on the offensive side, to see, you know, I'm really intrigued with what Kingsley Suamaitia. Going into camp, it was going to be him and Wanya Morris. Well, he separated pretty quickly in that battle. And so that and the fact that the third level of the offense is open for business again. This is you going back to Missouri Southern and Joplin, and the favorite hamburger joints close. You're like, oh, man. You go back 2 years later, and it's open with the best burger possible. That's what this is, because the third level of the offense is open for business. Getting Hollywood hurts, but once they get him back, there's going to be dudes flying all over the field, side to side and up and down.
Are you surprised that Andy's going to start a rookie left tackle? I mean, usually he likes to kind of shy away from young players. I would have guessed, if you had asked me in February who's the left tackle going to be if they don't bring back Donovan Smith, I would have said that Wanya was in line. They then are going to put a rookie out there for, at this point, a pretty established offensive line from left guard all the way to right tackle. I don't want to say Kingsley is a question mark. We just don't know at this point. But I am a little bit surprised that the young guy, and he's basically had that job since they broke OTAs. Andy has never wavered on who the left tackle for this team is. It's going to be Kingsley Suamaitia.
Yeah, he mentioned to me today, hey, Wanya's still in that battle. But, man, he's the reps that Kingsley's getting. The one thing that surprised me the other night is I thought that he would stay in there. I was just talking to Mitchell Schwartz, who's here at this event. I really thought, we agreed on this, that Kingsley would get another series. Remember the six-play drive, everybody's out of there. I thought he might keep him out there with Carson Wentz for maybe one or two more series, but they didn't. But I think that could happen this week. I could see that O-line maybe playing with Carson for a series. But go back now. They played Creed Humphrey as a rookie. I know it's not left tackle. Trey Smith, right guard, is a rookie. Go back to Fish, but Fish was the 1-1. So there's times where the young guy's been thrust into the throw of the battle. But this is really putting Kingsley in the intermediate swimming lessons the first day. There isn't any beginners for him. But he's super smart, tough. He's great down the field. It's just going to be he's going up against, I mean, the elite pass rushers in this league. And so it'll be a challenge, including Saturday afternoon is going to be big. That's going to be first and foremost what we're going to watch, is how Kingsley's going to do against those guys. And those guys are the Detroit Lions, who are mean.
Right now, we're joined by the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. Mitch Holtis joins us on location here. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan. So Kingsley Suamaitia was a top story from preseason game number one. The kickoff rule was also a story from preseason game number one. I think it's fair to say that the officials made a mistake in how they handled the Mecole Hardman situation. It is new for everybody. I'm happy you made this mistake in the preseason to make this in the regular season, where you can cost the team a possible playoff spot, a tiebreaker, or what have you there. What is your interpretation, I guess, of the rules? How do you like the rules? I like that the NFL is trying something different. The kickoff was broken. 77% of kickoffs last year resulted in a touchback. I think that play needed some kind of juice. Maybe this is not the perfect way to do it, but I'm at least happy that the league is open to trying something different with kickoffs.
I was all about it. Talked about it all summer and on air, private conversations. But I was so mad after the Jacksonville game. I got on the plane mad. It felt like, almost felt like we lost a regular season game just because I think Jacksonville got physical and kind of pushed us around. But the kickoff rule really made me mad because I've been portraying it as the landing zone, the 20 to the goal line. No, because Cam Little was like the first-year law student who proved the case, because he kicks it a yard deep and backspins it in the field of play. So it's a live ball. Previously, that would be a dead ball. To be able to do that gives way too much advantage to the coverage team. You're not going to get returns if you allow that to happen. So now the league, if you saw me on Twitter, I gave it 24 hours, Twitter/X, and then I kind of came out. I'm like, wait a minute. This was not really the way it was portrayed and presented. I like the rule, but I almost think you got to back up the coverage guys five more yards, and then if the ball lands in the end zone anywhere, it's a touchback coming to the 30. Then you put into play the so-called landing zone between the goal line and the 20, which is that's the way it was presented to be strategic. It's kind of fun. Watch it. What are they going to do here? But I can't give too much of an advantage. If I do that and they backspins, because you're 5 yards from me. You're seeing when the ball is touched or lands. I don't. I'm looking at you, thinking, how am I going to block you? in the fraction of a second that I turn and see that the ball has been caught or hits the ground, you're by me. That's what I'm seeing in all the preseason games. So they've got to, I like what they're trying to do, but it's messed up the way it is right now. They've got to tweak this and tweak it soon.
I agree, and I am going to be curious to see how much the coaches, players, and owners, how everybody is going to be on the same page. It is a new rule, so I'm willing to kind of let them work through it. Danan was just here, and Danan and I are on the same page. I don't have a problem with the rule, what I understand the rule is. I think you have to create more of a penalty for a touchback. To your point where if the ball lands in the end zone, well, I would just always kick it in the end zone. If you're telling me the worst case scenario was they get the ball on the 30, you have no return, no injuries happen, and you can't have a big play on a kickoff. If you want to really incentivize kickoffs, then put the ball on the 40. That would then force the kicker to put the ball into play for something to happen. That's the tweak I would have.
And what's weird about it, the way the rule is now, if I kick it to the 21, it's a dead ball. You get it at the 40. So them allowing the kick into the end zone to be live, too much advantage for the coverage team, but make it strategic. Then if you kick it into the end zone, make it the 35, give them five more yards, back up the coverage team 5 yards to the 45, and you're going to see all kinds of stuff go on. The way it is now, if I kick it 5 yards deep in the end zone, give Cam little credit. That little kid knew what he was doing. But if I can do that and backspin it, you're not going to get returns. You're going to get a dive on it at the one, or you'll get more touchbacks than you thought you were going to have. So make it a dead ball, start to tweak it, a touchback, give them more of a penalty on a touchback, put it to the 35, because I figured up, even when the Chiefs get the ball at the 30 last year, there's a 53, they scored 53% of the time when Mahomes got the ball at the 30. 17 touchdowns, 16 field goals, and 10 of the times they did not score, of the 47%, it was kneel downs at the end of the game or a half. Give Mahomes five more yards, the numbers go way up. So penalize the kicking team if you're going to kick it into the end zone. But don't make it live back there either, because that's swinging the pendulum way too far the other way.
Right now we got Mitch Holtz's voice of the Kansas City Chiefs joining us on location here. Let's talk about the wide receiver room. It's funny because last year, I'm sure you were getting asked questions all the time about Justin Ross. And now nobody's asking questions about Justin Ross. But I'm like, wait, hold on. He's better this year than he was last year. If you were excited about him going into last year, you got to be excited about him now. We talked about this all offseason. I think there's five wide receivers that are for sure making this team. I think McColl's going to be on this team. I think Watson's going to be on the team. And then your big three between Brown, Rice, and Xavier Worthy. Those are going to be on the team. There's really four guys maybe fighting for one spot with Ross, Tony, Nico Remigio, and Justin Ross. What do you think about this wide receiver bubble? Who do you think is going to make the team? Who do you think could possibly be on the outside looking in?
Other than the Kingsley Suamaatia story, the second one is what you're alluding to. And these next two preseason games are going to be huge for that. So I agree with you. Obviously the top four, with Watson being the fourth, because he just does so much. He's the Mike Dana, kind of underappreciated, of the offensive side. I think McColl's got a shot, but I would almost put him in with those other guys. Remigio, who had been like the best option on kickoffs, really struggled the other night. Nico's got to have a big afternoon on Saturday against the Lions to get jump back into the fray. Justin Ross. Now, this Justin Ross was a little bit of a byproduct of our Chiefs social team, because they can't wait to put, last year, they're putting up one-handed grabs on the sideline in one-on-one. Okay, that's it's not realistic. Like, so put up team plays, 11-on-11. And so, actually, I think he's been better this year.
I agree.
Than a year ago. But the social team's not putting them on there every day, and everybody's going crazy and crashing Instagram because you're not putting off one-handed, you know, underhanded grabs by Justin Ross that really aren't real life. But Sky Moore, in this discussion, where's he? I think there's four, and then I think they're going to keep seven. And you can keep seven. Now, where you're going to rob a person is on the defensive side, because I'm also going to keep four tight ends. I think that's very real, to have Irv Smith be a fourth tight end, okay? Carson Steele enters the discussion, because if he becomes a fullback, halfback slash guy, then maybe you only have three tight ends. But you can still keep seven wide receivers, four tight ends, three running backs, nine offensive linemen, two quarterbacks, and the three specialists. That's 28. That leaves you 25. and you're going to rob somebody on the defensive side. But without a Menahou, you could go 9 up front, 6 in the middle, and then that leaves, what, 10 on the back end. And that's some combination of safeties and corners.
In terms of roster math, is it possible that Clyde Edwards-Helaire doesn't make the team? Because I'm just looking at it. We know that Pacheco's going to make it. Now with Clyde Edwards-Helaire out all this week for practice, not 100% sure why he's not there. Carson has gotten a lot of those second-team reps. They seem to like Denaric Prince on this team. Is it possible? You didn't make that much of a financial commitment to Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Is it possible that maybe he's on the outside looking in?
And didn't practice again. Mm-hmm. There's some mystery there. I mean, to your point, yeah. I'd be ridiculous to say no, he's a shoe-in, especially with being hurt and then going through the issues that he talked about, which he was very candid. I appreciate him. He's a good dude. But the other thing we also have to discuss is the days have changed of the 53-man roster being, oh, my gosh, it's in concrete. It's really a 69-man shell now. So you have this tertiary shell of 69 humans, and then like the nucleus of the atom is the 53-man roster. But the protons and neutrons of those 16 guys outside of the nucleus can come in and out and in and out week by week by week. There's certain limits to it, because after, I think, 4, you have to put them on the 53. But there's also guys you can protect that are veterans in that 16-man shell. So even if Clyde is not healthy and ready to start the season, doesn't make the 53, to answer your question affirmatively, it doesn't mean he's off the team. He could be in that 69-person shell as a protected veteran.
I've got two questions I want to ask you before we get out of here. One question is about the defensive side. I caution this because I know how people are going to hear this, and I don't mean it this way. But it wasn't that long ago the Chiefs fans felt like Sneedy was a top-5 corner in the league. They then lose a top-5 corner in the league. And no one seems to be that concerned that he's not on the team. Now, I know Trent McDuffie is an all-pro, but last year this team was able to do a lot defensively because you had Sneed who could guard anybody in the National Football League, and it allowed Trent to kind of roam around and do a lot of different stuff. I just find it a little hard to believe that you can lose a player of that caliber the way he played last year and not feel any effects of it on your defense. Now, can Nazi Johnson step up? Is Joshua Williams going to step up? Is Jalen Watson? We all know the names of players. But you got big shoes to fill from what I saw Sneed do last year. If you're telling me Tyreek Hill's the best player in the league, nobody thinks that, but if you're telling me he's the best player in the league, I saw a Chiefs player physically manhandle him on the line of scrimmage. They don't have a single guy that can do that on their team right now.
Did you ever break up with a girl?
Of course.
Did she ever break up with you?
Of course.
Okay.
That happens more often than the first one.
Okay, just think of this. At the time before the breakup, you're going, this gal's really awesome, man. I love spending time with her. She's great. Then she breaks up with you, you're going, I don't know what's going on with that girl. She's messed up, right? Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit of that. Like, they look different. But I love L'Jarius Sneed. He's good. I lose sleep over a lot of things. In fact, my sleep at camp is my, like, Andy Reid. Like, get up at 4, you can't go back to sleep. There's 1,000 things on your mind, 1,000 things to do. So you just start, okay, I guess I'll get up. That's kind of the way St. Joseph is for me. But one of the things I don't lose sleep over is that. And the reason, there's a whole bunch of answers here. This is not an apples-to-apples switch out from Sneed to the names you mentioned. It's a whole bowl of fruit, with the closest apples-to-apples being Shamari Connor. Shamari Connor's had a really good camp. I did a feature on him on the shows that I was doing from camp this week. Virginia Tech really, really prepared him for his role here. And I'm going to give Veach and his staff credit because they were able to see what Tech did with him. They had him in the role he's playing here his last 2 years of college, and he talks about it. So it's kind of a quick learn for him. But all the names you mentioned are in the bowl of fruit. Couple that with the fact that with Steve Spagnuolo's scheme, he is doing so many different things with his creativity of who's lining up where, who's coming from where, the corners tackle, the safety's got to cover, and they do that. L'Jarius Sneed made great plays. I'm not going to say he's not a good player, and his play against Zay Flowers is legendary in the AFC Championship game. But I lose no sleep over that part of losing him because I see what they're doing, both structure, personnel-wise, and scheme and approach.
I'll get you out of here with this. You and I spend a lot of time during the year talking about the division. All three teams have gone through something major has happened. The Chargers have. I think that Harbaugh's proven he's one of the five best coaches in the world. I know he had the success in college, but every single place he has been, he has won. You now give him a top 10 quarterback in Justin Herbert. The Broncos have a new starting quarterback with Bo Nix. The Raiders appear to be a team that is in a little bit of a transition, trying to figure out what they want to do. Got a new head coach with Antonio Pierce. The Chiefs are by far and away the favorite in the AFC West. I'd suggest that one of those other three teams is probably going to be a little bit better than people think.
Maybe all three. I wouldn't put it past them to all three show some significant movement forward. Plus, we've got some new cast of characters in the AFC. I think Houston's for real. I think they're loaded. When you look at Nico Collins, and now you got Diggs, and Tank Dell's healthy, and I think C.J. Stroud might be the best of all these young quarterbacks that everybody wants to make money.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Holmes, and then defensively, man, they're flying around. Danielle Hunter, they got dudes. And I think D'Amico Ryans is a really good coach. I think Houston's for real. I think Jacksonville will be better. I saw that on Saturday. You get a glimpse at their roster and what they're doing. So I think there's some new folks that will challenge in the AFC, but I think the whole division will – I mean, you have good coaches in the division, and they're gonna push forward. So, yeah, you got to win the division first. You got to focus in, and just because you won it 8 in a row doesn't mean you get the birthright to win it 9 in a row. It's on, but I will tell you the Chiefs are better. This is a better team than they were a year ago. Because I asked this question. We'll do this discussion again before the season starts probably. You think the Chiefs are going to go 4-4 at home? You think the Chiefs are going to go -11 in the giveaway takeaway? Think the Chiefs are going to have 45 drops? And the third level's open for business again? Just put all those things and put it and go, maybe not. Think they're going to have to face a December where they had to face five straight opponents with 9 or 14 days rest? No. I'm telling you, it's on. It's on. But the rest of the division will be better. I agree with that. But so are the Chiefs.
I'm with you. I think the Chiefs are better, too. The biggest thing for me is a team that has Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, they finished 17th in points scored last year. This team will 100% finish top 10 in scoring this year. And with that defense, if you got a top 10 offense and a top 10 defense, that once again makes you the odds-on favorite to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl.
Well, and there was 17th in the red zone scoring last year. Enter Jared Wiley, a 6'7 target with a 37-inch vert and radius, catch radius. The Chiefs finally have help for Kelsey, especially in the red zone. The rookie class, to me, surprised me. Not just Suamaitia, but Xavier, football player, tough. You're going, man, he's a small dude. He's a tough cat. That's a Fresno dude, right? Usually Fresno dudes are tough. And so Jared Hicks, I'm kidding, he's good.
I like him a lot.
A lot. And they're counting on him a lot. So is Tobe. And so this group that they've got in this rookie class, not saying they'll be the 22 rookies, which are – you know, nut next world, but man, they look good. They could be the 21 class of the future.
That is Mitch Holtz, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, joining us on the show today. Happy to have you with us on 96.5 The Fan.
Baby.
Absolutely. Football season is here. It's always here when I get a chance to talk to Mitch Holtz. Coming up on the other side, I am on the Carson Steele bandwagon. I'll explain why. Keep it right here. So drive. Welcome back into the show. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here. You are listening in on 96.5 The Fan, your FM home for Kansas City sports. We appreciate you guys listening, excited about the changes that are coming to the station, to the show, even though it is the same show that you have come to know and love. So, I don't know, maybe I'm just getting soft. Usually, I take a little bit of pride and popping the balloon on you guys' joy. every offseason, you guys get overly excited about some individual player, and I have to be the one to tell you, no, that's not how it goes. This year, I give you guys a lot of credit. You guys have been very realistic in your expectations for the Chiefs. I don't know what to do. It is throwing me in a tizzy. I am here to tell you that I have fallen in love with the camp darling. I have fallen in love with the camp hero. This is the first time this has happened in 4 years. Usually what happens is you guys take it too far. A couple years ago with Jody Fortson, you remember whenever we had Jason Dunn on the show and he said that Jody Fortson was going to get 10 touchdowns and everybody was like, oh, Carrington, you don't think that, you're a hater. I'm like, wait, what are you guys talking about?
He had one touchdown in one game. Do the math, Carrington.
Yeah, usually what happens is you guys have Patrick Mahomes throwing for 7,000 yards because everybody's having a 1,000-yard season. I don't know what has happened, but you guys are realistic this year. I am here to be a little bit unrealistic about one of their players, and that player is Carson Steele. The reason I feel this way about Carson Steele is, number one, it's the position that he plays. He plays a position in which there is going to be a breakout player at running back this year. There's going to be a breakout player at running back that was drafted in the 6th, 7th round, or went undrafted. It happens every single year in the National Football League. So the Chiefs have one of those possible candidates, and that is most important to me. We are talking about a player who has had previous success. That matters to me. I know it is not college football, but shockingly enough, a lot of the players that are good at college football, they translate to being good NFL players. Carson Steele was at a mid-major. He was at Ball State. They're in the MAC. Freshman year, a true. He ran for 900 yards in the MAC. His sophomore year, he came back. He ran for 1,500 yards in the MAC. He then realized, you know what? This is below my skill level. I'm better than this. He transferred to the Pac-12. Now, Rob, you watch a lot of college football like I do. Pac-12 was pretty good last year, right?
They were maybe the best conference in college football last year.
Last year, Carson Steele carried the ball 167 times. He had 847 yards. I'll do the math because you are driving. That is good for 5.1 yards per carry. 5.1 yards per carry last year for Carson Steele. It is not crazy that the starting running back for UCLA turns out to be a productive NFL player, and I think they have a chance at this being the case. You're telling me the guy that last year against Washington State had 30 carries for 141 yards, or Oregon State had 22 carries for 110 yards? That guy has a chance to be a productive NFL player. And some of this is also wrapped into, I would like for the Chiefs to have a backup plan at running back. The last couple of years, their number one running back has stayed healthy. But Rob, you play fantasy football. A lot of you listening, you play fantasy football. Things happen at that position. It's a weird position where injuries happen, and you always have to be prepared for if that injury happens. You know who I feel really good about? I actually feel the best about him over the other possible options. I've seen enough Clyde Edwards-Helaire to know what it's going to be with him at running back. Denarius Prince, I don't think it's ever going to happen for him at running back. Maybe it never happens for Carson Steele. Maybe this is just August conversation. Once we get going, we never hear from the man again. Maybe he is just the fullback of this team. He gets limited touches, limited opportunities. He was successful at multiple stops in college, did it at a high level. He can break tackles. He gives you a little bit of juice, a little bit of pop. Man, that guy's got a chance to be a productive NFL player. We can go through the list of undrafted running backs and how it's turned out. It's not like I can just find one of them. I can give you 5 or 6 before I even hit Google. Arian Foster was undrafted. LeGarrette Blount was undrafted. Austin Eckler was undrafted. Danny Woodhead was undrafted. You're telling me that Carson Steele can't become Danny Woodhead? He can't become a guy that can play 6, 7, 8 years in the league, catch the ball out of the backfield, a little bit of do-everything kind of back? I'm telling you right now, I can't believe this is happening. But for the first time in 4 years, I am in support of the training camp darling. I am setting myself up as the president of the Carson Steele fan club.
So two things. One, I'm going to be the voice of reason here.
Of course you are. He's a running back, so you're going to start hating for no reason.
Of course. How is this different than when last year you were the president of the Ronald Jones bandwagon? Because last year it was Jerick McKinnon off an injury, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who we knew stunk, still stinks, and Isaiah Pacheco, who we all had high hopes for. And you were telling me Ronald Jones is the next guy up. Ronald Jones this, Ronald Jones that.
I thought he was going to be. I was wrong.
It's Rojo this and Rojo that. Outside of age and race, how is this different with Carson Steele? Because it's very similar running back room. Clyde Edwards-Helaire still stinks. You know what you got in Isaiah Pacheco. You are searching. You are racing. You are begging for what is running back 2/3. I think you're falling into the same trap. Also, I know that he averaged 5.1 yards per carry last year at UCLA. You have pounded that into our head the last 2 days.
That matters.
Do you know who his coach was at UCLA? It's Chip Kelly.
Yeah.
Let me tell you some other great running backs that have come out of Oregon that were averaging 5-plus yards per carry in their career at Oregon. You tell me which one of these guys is an NFL star from that Chip Kelly offense. Royce Freeman, LaMichael James, Kenyon Barner.
We hating on Royce Freeman? We're hating on if he turns out to be Royce Freeman? I'd love for him to be Royce Freeman. You're telling me right now we're considering that to be a failure.
DeAnthony Thomas was the next name, by the way. Those were guys who were better in college than Carson Steele was at UCLA in the same system, and it wasn't like they pumped out high-level success in the NFL. Royce Freeman's the high watermark, you're correct, but Royce Freeman's NFL career was relatively pedestrian.
I'd love for him to be Royce Freeman if that's my bar I'm holding him to.
I mean, Royce Freeman would be fine. My point is, I wonder how much of his undrafted and 5 yards of carry are built on system. Because we all know in college, it's not just about the Jimmys and Joes. Because, UCLA's not got the same Jimmys and Joes Washington has.
No, that's fair.
But scheme matters. And Chip Kelly has not been pumping success stories out of that scheme into the NFL. And that scheme was having guys like LaMichael James average 6.9 yards per carry in college, which is a yard, almost 2 yards better than Carson Steele. And LaMichael James got zero sniffs in the league. So I wonder if he is fairly or unfairly, potentially handcuffed by the fact that Chip Kelly has no level of success. The same way the text line loves to tell me Ohio State and USC never pump out pro quarterbacks. That's maybe the case with Chip Kelly and running backs during his tenure at Oregon and UCLA.
We will certainly see over the course of the season whether or not that's the case. I think we 100% know that he is going to make the team, so we're not debating that at this point. Now, let's hope, let me knock on wood here, that an injury doesn't happen and that he doesn't have to be thrown into the mix, that maybe Isaiah Pacheco plays all 17 games this year and we don't have – he only plays 12 regular season games and we got to figure it out for 5 games. But if you were asking me right now, let's say that Isaiah Pacheco, for whatever reason, couldn't play week one against the Baltimore Ravens and they got to give 15 carries to somebody on their team, I'm giving them to Carson Steele and I'm seeing what happens. That's what I would do if I was the Kansas City Chiefs. I wouldn't give it to Clyde Edwards-Helaire. If you give Clyde Edwards-Helaire the 15 carries, you're getting 37 yards.
I think you're maybe falling victim to, hey, it's the backup quarterback syndrome. I know what I have in Clyde Edwards-Helaire, so the next guy up has to be better. Maybe Carson Steele on those 15 carries gets you 38 yards, which is the same.
Well, you know what? One of those carries is going to go for 15 yards if that's the case. Clyde Edwards-Helaire ain't having no carry for 15 yards. I have been telling you guys, if it is third and eight, or if it is second and eight and you run the ball with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, you will not have a first down. You might have less yards than you started with. It might be third and 10 now. But I'm telling you, if it is second and eight and you decide to run the ball with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, you better get your third down play ready because he ain't breaking a tackle. He ain't making nobody miss. He is not getting you a first down in that scenario. I want to continue to see what the kid has. Can we revisit this conversation on Monday after the preseason game?
Absolutely.
They have another preseason
game.
You would agree. Mm-hmm. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is not playing in the preseason game.
That is the big caveat. I want to see if Carson Steele gets first. If Carson Steele gets first team touches, but if you're telling me, man, he rocked in the third quarter.
Clyde ain't playing.
UDF,
Clyde has not practiced all week. We know how Andy is. You don't practice, you don't play. It's a preseason game.
So
Clyde is not playing this week, and there's no reason for you to give Isaiah Pacheco a lot of touches.
I agree with you conceptually.
Isaiah Pacheco is getting 2 touches at the absolute most. I would give Carson Jackson Steele 10 carries on Sunday or Saturday and see what happens. Just if I'm Andy, give him 10 carries and see what happens. If I'm wrong and he has 22 yards on those 10 carries, we can come back and have this conversation. If he gets 47 yards on those 10 carries, I want more of y'all to start coming on my side here. Maybe the Chiefs have something with Carson Steele. Coming up on the other side, Rob believes that a travesty has happened. I'll tell you what it is. Keep it right here. It's 96.5 The Fan. Welcome back into the drive on 96.5.
Oh, you made it all day. You came so close.
I know. No, I got distracted because just – honestly, this is why I got distracted. I'm going to tell you the truth. I was going to ask Quentin, do you smoke marijuana? I was going to ask him that just because your music choice, just there's no way you like this kind of music and you live a completely sober and healthy lifestyle. I just refuse to believe it. I don't believe it.
So or you're 50 years old.
I got a little bit distracted and then I just went back to old habits. No, I have not messed up all day at calling in 96.5 The Fan, but that's what I was thinking when we were coming back from break. I'm like, bro, like what? And the thing is, like, he's not just doing this to try to troll me. This is really what he listens to. Like, when Quentin is riding around in his vehicle, he is listening to this kind of music, which is nothing's wrong with this kind of music. If you are a 47-year-old man, this is a great playlist for you. Quentin's 19. Why do you listen to this kind of music? Man, if you don't...
When you're 55 and the kids are asleep, you're having a drink on the patio. That's great vibes. Quentin's like, you know what? Why doesn't Westport Ale House play any Hotel California?
Can you just go listen to Morgan Wallen like the other young people, man? What's going on, man? Go listen to Morgan Wallen like all the other kids is doing, man.
Every time I do a show, we end up talking about my music. And then as the show gets further and further along, you keep making me younger. We started out that I was 24. The next segment, I was 23. Now I'm 19.
Are you trying to fact check?
I'm just having a conversation here about me and my personal self.
Your music makes me think you're like 56, 57. You want me to go up with the number? Hey, yeah, this 62-year-old man running the board today.
And I don't know what makes you think that I'm concerned with accuracy. Like, I don't know. you have something twisted here. You think that I'm trying to be correct on this show. No, I don't even have a computer today. Everything I've said today is off vibes. I'm just going off vibes and energy. Every stat I have given you, I don't know any of this. Stuff. I'm just making it up as I go and hoping that I'm right. I don't know why you think that I'm worried about accuracy here. All right, so earlier today on ESPN.com, they put out a list of the top 100 college football players for this upcoming season. You will be happy to know that Luther Burden, who will be the first skill position player taken that doesn't play quarterback in this year's NFL draft, he was fifth on this list. Should be a little bit higher, but I ain't going to complain with top five. I ain't going to complain about that.
Was he the top skill position player on the list, or was Travis Hunter ahead of him?
Travis Hunter was ahead of him. Luther Burden is a better wide receiver than Travis Hunter is a wide receiver.
I actually agree.
100%. Now, if you're saying the value is that Hunter can play defense and offense, sure.
Yep.
The best offensive player in college football plays at the University of Missouri this year. That's not what I want to get into. Jalen Daniels was number 40 on the list. Brady Cook was number 65 on the list. Kobe Bryant, who plays corner at the University of Kansas, he was number 77 on this list. Avery Johnson was number 93 on this list, who has a lot of room to move up the list if he has the season I think he can have. Rob has not once talked to me about the fact that his KU Jayhawks are ranked in the preseason. He has not talked to me about the fact that they have not one but two players in the top 100. Rob came up to me today. First place, when I saw him, we're on location today, so I didn't see him. Usually I see him at around 11. I saw him today. It was like 135. You see that list today on ESPN? Yeah, man, I saw it. What'd you think about it? I can't believe they didn't put Devin Neal on the list. You're telling me he's not a top 100 player in college football? Rob, you know what you are now? You know how Royals fans are like, hey, you guys should just enjoy the ride. You know, hey, I thought they were going to win 56 games, but I don't care if they make the playoffs. You know what you have now? Expectations. Mm-hmm. You think your team can make the college football playoff. You feel like KU football is being slighted.
Because Devin Neal is being slighted. Devin Neal is one of the top 100 players in college football. That I don't know what who made the list. I don't know who at ESPN needs to get a firm talking to for me. Devin Neal is one of the best 100 players in the sport.
That's obviously not what ESPN feels. They disagree.
I don't need him at one. I don't need him as the top running back. I don't need him in the top 50. If you want to have him at 75, I'd be like, cool. But to not be one of the top 100 players in the sport is foolish.
Okay,
you could argue he was the best running back in college football last year.
Who would make that argument?
Me, right now.
Okay.
You know what he had more of than your boy?
He wasn't the best local running back.
Oh, he was 100% the best local running back.
He was not better than Cody Schrader was last year.
You know what he had more of than Cody Schrader last year? I'm going to use a C-dot point. Watch this. He had more yards per carry last year than Cody Schrader.
Okay.
Which you treat like it came down from up on high.
Yeah, because that matters.
Then Devin Neal was better than Cody Schrader last year.
Every time I give you the football, what happens when I give you
Devin
the football?
Devin Neal made more good things happen than Cody Schrader last year.
Schrader was a better running back than he was last year. He wasn't the best running back in the Big 12 last year. Gordon was better than him for Oklahoma State.
Gordon, no.
Telling lies?
Gordon is
best running back in college football last year.
Gordon was a four
Blake Corum, he was better than him.
Blake Corum was better than him.
He was better than Donovan Edwards was last year.
Yeah, oh yeah, Donovan. Donovan Edwards was running back two on his team.
Blake Corum was running back one on that team. That's like when they were like how Arkansas used to be. Remember they had Felix Jones and he was the backup to Darren McFadden?
Everyone slided in.
Like,
well, if you're not that good, well, you're not Darren McFadden.
Yeah, I can't believe that.
Seriously, he needs to be he's a top 100 player.
I agree with you. It doesn't matter because whatever love ESPN didn't give him, the people that make the college football video game, they gave him
plenty.
He's like Bo Jackson on that game. He is the best spin move. He runs over people. You can't stop Devin Neal on that college football video game. So, yeah, the ESPN list didn't give him all the credit. Electronic Arts gave him too much credit for how good of a player. Now, we like Devin Neal on this show. That's ridiculous.
He's probably somewhere in between EA and ESPN's rankings. EA loves. EA acts like he's Jenkins guy at Ohio State. That's too much.
Can I give you the top five stream shows?
Absolutely.
The Boys, House of Dragon, Cobra Kai, Love Island, and Bluey.
I watch the three adult shows on there.
When are we going to talk about the House of the Dragon?
We'll do that tomorrow. At that point, spoilers are free game.
All right. I can't wait to talk about House of the Dragon. Because we haven't even talked about it since you got back.
We've talked about it in the office, but we haven't taken it to air yet.
I might be out for season three. I might be out for season three. We had a lot of fun today. We are excited for the changes at the station. Hopefully you are as well. We will catch you guys tomorrow. You're listening to 96.5 The
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.